Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. We're starting the week off really good, as we often do with Darren's fine scheduling. But it's always a good Monday treat when we have Trent Horn here with us. And Trent is with us both hours this Monday afternoon. And our topic, why are you pro-choice? If you are a pro-choice person and would be willing to discuss that with us, we would be very happy to discuss it with you. Maybe you are of the view that it's legal, and so we should stop talking about it. We're willing to discuss that. Maybe you are pro-choice because you believe in what's called a woman's right to choose, or maybe you have some other reason that you hold that view and you'd like to share that reason with us and engage in a reasoned-based conversation. If you're willing to do that, we welcome your call. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest, as I said, Trent Horn, is staff apologist here at Catholic Answers. He is a convert to the Catholic faith, has spent a good part of his life defending the pro-life position, and he is the author of a book called Persuasive Pro-Life, among his several books. His most recent books, wait a second, is the Saints book out?
It is available on the Catholic Answers shop, and so you should be able to get that there, at least order, pre-order, but I know it'll be available for sale in a few weeks. But you can pre-order it at shop.catholic.com.
Because I was going to mention why we're Catholic, and then The Case for Catholicism, two of your most recent books, and then I realized maybe those aren't the most recent books, because maybe What the Saints Never Said is out.
Yeah, I would say What the Saints Never Said is now my most recent book, and that was a fun little book to write. So that's going into history of things the saints are reported to have said, like preach the gospel, use words of necessary, pray as if everything depended on God, work as if everything depended on you. And I take those things that the saints reportedly said, show they didn't say them, especially the ones that kind of have subtle heresies built into them, and then show people what the saints really did say that we should look at.
Yeah, I think there should be a follow-up book, Things Pope Francis Never Said, because I see on the internet
He gets in my book.
He does.
Saints in my book is kind of a catch-all term for any well-known Catholic.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah.
So there's a lot of saints, but there's also just a lot of well-known Catholics. And I do have a chapter on one thing St. Francis reportedly said about salvation, and I drop a few other St. Francis is in there too a lot.
Yeah.
So it would make sense that since St. Francis of Assisi is misquoted so often, it's very providential that Pope Francis is also misquoted.
Yeah, right. And it's usually kind of a quasi-inspirational but clearly a New Agey thing that I'll see with Pope Francis's name under it. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure he did not say that.
Yeah, it's like something that people take from the Deepak Chopra meme generator. Have you heard of that?
No, there is an actual Deepak Chopra meme generator.
Yeah, so Deepak Chopra promotes New Age and cosmic consciousness, things like that. And most of what he says, though, actually has no informational content. It's just kind of word salad. And so you see these on these memes all over the internet. And so you can go to the Deepak Chopra generator and it will put together random words that sound exactly like things in his book.
Man, maybe he uses it. You don't know.
Yeah, so I'm sure I could do an experiment. You could take some of that and you put it next to many different famous people, Pope Francis being one of them,
on
those internet memes.
Right.
So that's why my book, What the Saints Never Said, really focuses on a lot of these fake quotes get put out over the internet. That's why at the beginning of my book, I actually quote Abraham Lincoln, who said, the trouble with internet quotations is that they're hard to verify.
I remember him saying that. That was right after the Gettysburg Address at the press conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where,
they amended the online version of the address after it went up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Lincoln White House was famous for their online shenanigans. Indeed. Famous. 888-318-7884 is our number. If you are a pro-choice person and you would like to tell us why you are pro-choice, we're willing to engage in a reasoned discussion with you about it. We'd like to do that, as a matter of fact. We'll even go so far as to try our best to make it a charitable conversation. We're not trying to make enemies. We're just trying to have conversations, and we would like to have the conversation about life. If you are a pro-choice person and you want to share that, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Trent, I'm correct in saying before you were a Catholic apologist, I don't even know if it may even predate you being a Christian. I mean, being a Catholic, I don't know, Trent. You were a pro-life kind of leader.
I engaged in pro-life apologetics. I went around the country. I spoke on college campuses. I took part in pro-life displays and outreaches through an organization called Justice for All. And so I spent a lot of time, and we wanted to go to college campuses because we had a display that had graphic images of abortion. So we liked taking that thing to places where there's lots of people who are willing to talk about abortion and are thinking of having an abortion, and that's really not around where a lot of small children gather. And a college campus is a perfect place for that. And a college campus used to be, at least, the place for the free exchange of ideas, the marketplace of ideas, go, debate, see which idea rises to the top. And it's just unfortunate that there's kind of two enemies to the marketplace of ideas on modern university campuses now. One would be a revamped sense of political correctness and a certain kind of ideology that says you have to subscribe to our beliefs about gender, sexuality, whatever it may be. And if you don't, you're guilty of hate speech and we're going to shut you down and not let you speak on our campus. And that's the minority. Then the larger threat, actually, the marketplace of ideas is apathy, is people just putting in their iPhone earbuds and not caring.
But
I still think it's worthwhile to go to campuses and do this. And that's why I love being on the radio, because that debate and dialogue I used to have on college campuses on whether abortion should be legal or illegal, we get to still have that here on the radio. Lots of people are listening, people who identify as pro-choice. And if you're pro-choice, I'd like to know why. Just call in. And if I'm pro-life, but if I'm wrong, I will completely change my mind on this subject. I just want to hear what the other side says as to why I should support legal abortion.
888-318-7884 is that number if you do want to call and share with us why you are pro-choice. 888-318-7884. I actually think this is a discussion that's mostly avoided in media. Like, you would think that, you know, like these cable news shows that obviously are hurting for content all the time. They're constantly kind of digging the bottom of the barrel for content. But no, it's crickets on this. We just don't even talk about this anymore.
Or, Cy, unfortunately, people do talk about it, but it's cable news discourse, which is the absolute worst. It's just two talking heads. They're not willing to tease out an argument, critique each other's points. It's just all about who can get the best soundbite in. And when you criticize someone's argument, they just choose not to respond. They just launch into their next soundbite. Yeah. And so that's just very unfortunate when abortion is discussed. And you're right. Usually it's hardly discussed at all. That's why I'm looking forward to hopefully we can talk about it here on air.
We'll do that when we come back. Lots of calls coming in. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Trent, usually that queue does get long early, so give a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Carlin on Facebook, Trent, says he can hear you, and he's got his earbuds in. So I guess he's listening to the show through the earbuds.
And that works when I am broadcasting to you online. But when I'm standing in the middle of the University Plaza, the earbuds are my number one enemy. But here, they can be my number one ally. So thank you for listening to me through your earbuds.
Thanks, right, Carlin. Why are you pro-choice? That's the topic of the hour today. Trent Horn is our guest. Our number, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back to take your calls after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn. Did you know that you can have me and other Catholic Answers speakers headline your next conference or parish event? Go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to book one of our dynamic speakers today. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com.
Talking about abortion can be scary, but so is anything with which you're unfamiliar. People need to learn how to talk about abortion in ways that inspire confidence in the truth of the pro-life position. We must talk about abortion because we are afraid. Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, is the new book by apologist Trent Horn that teaches you to face those fears to engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others. Field-tested on college campuses, Persuasive Pro-Life will help you to change people's hearts and minds and begin to build up a pro-life culture in today's world, one person, one conversation at a time. Order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, today by calling 1-888-291-8000, going to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area. Also available as an ebook.
Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into, or back to, the practice of the Catholic faith. This Lent, plant seeds of faith in the hearts and minds of your non-Catholic friends and family. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today. You can order your copies of Why We're Catholic by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our super great Monday show with Trent Horn. And our question of the hour, why are you pro-choice? 888-318-7884. The number 888-318-7884. If you have a reason that you would like to discuss about why you are pro-choice, we would like to discuss that reason with you. And as a matter of fact, we believe that this is a topic that needs a great deal more reasoning about. Lots of calls, Trent. Shall we go to them?
Let's do so.
All right. Let's start with Craig in Winchester, Virginia, listening on 89.7 FM. Craig, thank you for your call. You are on with Trent Horn. Why are you pro-choice?
Hi. Thanks for having me. Well, I assume that we're talking about the political framing of whether abortion should be prohibited or not. Is that true?
Sure. Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. I mean, it seems pretty logical to me that we have medical services that are available. We shouldn't prohibit people from obtaining them, especially if they don't share the same religious beliefs, perhaps as people who are pro-life.
Okay, Craig. I think I see where you're coming from. You're saying, look, if something is a legitimate medical service, we shouldn't outlaw it just because some people disagree with it. And I agree with that statement, but the problem here is we have to answer the question, is abortion, direct abortion, is it a legitimate medical service? So if we think of something as a medical service, it usually treats some kind of disease or a disorder. What disease or disorder does abortion treat?
There's the fairly red flag types of things, like an incestual rape or something that would probably...
How does abortion stop a rape?
It might be a pretty awkward thing to have. I guess the main thing for prohibiting abortions, what I feel is the strongest argument, strongly in favor of allowing people access medical procedures, abortions, is that when they're prohibited, the stats indicate across the board, people seek abortions still. And they seek them in unsafe ways. And it's never been addressed by the pro-life movement, really, honestly or directly whatsoever.
Okay. Well, Greg, I'm happy to address that. But I think I will address that, and then I would like you to address the previous question I asked, because we have to determine if this is a legitimate medical procedure. Because I agree with you that if something is made illegal, people will still choose to do it, but that's not a reason to keep it legal. Robbing banks is illegal. Kidnapping, rape is illegal. People still choose to do it. Let me offer you an analogy to abortion that kind of combines these two arguments. Imagine someone who says, look, female circumcision. Have you ever heard of female circumcision?
Certainly.
Yeah, it's a pretty graphic and brutal. It's nothing like male circumcision. I mean, there are people who disagree, obviously, but most people agree. Female circumcision, the World Health Organization, other human rights groups call it female genital mutilation, you know, because it scars little girls, you know, for the rest of their lives. And there are people who claim it's a legitimate medical procedure when clearly it's not. So what if they said, look, people should have access to female circumcision. It's a medical procedure. And if you make it illegal, people are still going to perform this on little girls, but in unsafe places. So we should make it safer to mutilate their genitals by keeping this legal. Now, in that context, I think most people will see that makes no sense at all. But the same follows with abortion. If what abortion is just the killing of a human being in the womb before they are born, then it's the same logic. It's like we're saying, look, big people, you know, the mothers who are going to end these children's lives, they're going to do it anyways. So let's make it safer for them to end these child's lives. Does that make sense to you?
I think it's a weird and awkward analogy, honestly.
What's wrong with really well, what's wrong with the analogy?
Abortions are something that have happened throughout human history, and they can happen in all kinds of ways. And prohibiting them does not keep them happening.
Okay, Craig, let me respond then. Then I can say the same thing. Isn't it also true that rape is something that has happened throughout all of human history, and if you prohibit it, it will still happen?
Certainly.
Okay, so but that's not an argument
to
make rape.
It does have a lower incidence, I believe. I'm fairly certain. I'm not 100% certain, but the stats are fairly in the court of that abortions still happen very much in a similar instance, whether they're prohibited or not, which is not the case for all these other things, rape, murder, theft.
Well, are you saying that there's more abortions when it's illegal? There are more?
No. I'm saying that the incidence is very comparable.
I haven't seen evidence for that. That if you look at the Centers for Disease Control in 1972, I mean, right now we've got 1 million abortions a year. Prior to that, maybe there was, you know, 98,000 prior to Roe versus Wade. After that, you see it increase 2, 3, and 4-fold. But the numbers, I don't think that's the main issue. Because Craig, here's my main argument. You can tell me what's wrong with it. We should not make it legal for big people to kill little people. Abortion is an act of big people like doctors killing little people who live in the womb. Therefore, it should not be legal. What's wrong with that argument?
And I know you'll take exception here, but a fetus is not a person. A single cell is not a person, a fully functioning, fully developed person with legal rights. Very few states recognize a fetus or a single-celled organism as a human being.
Okay. Well, Craig, let me ask you.
And there's a very slippery slope with trying to do that. So all of a sudden, let's say those are people. Well, all of a sudden now we have, I think it's 25% of pregnancies and in miscarriage. Uh-huh. So now the number one public health crisis, as soon as you say that a person is a single cell, you know, a single cell fetus, now that our number one health crisis is all the babies who are naturally aborted, if you will, okay, or miscarried.
Well, Craig, let me address that then. Number one, a fetus is not comprised of a single cell. You're thinking of a zygote. Fetus is a Latin word that means little one. It refers to the stage of development in the life of a human being when they are 8 weeks old until they are born. That's when they have their major bodily organs present, eyes, ears, fingers, toes, stomach, spleen, you know, they're all growing and developing. So this is just a very small human being. Now, you've made the claim that the fetus, the human fetus, is not a person. And I would like to know what evidence you have for that claim. It seems to me you offered really two justifications in what you're saying to me. Number one, no state recognizes a fetus as a person. And to me, that argument carries no weight because there was a time when the United States didn't recognize African Americans as persons. The law is simply wrong, and it should be changed, just like it was wrong before about personhood. And number two, you say that the unborn are not persons because they have a high mortality rate, that maybe 25% of unborn children are miscarried prior to birth. No one knows the exact numbers, but that doesn't show the unborn are not persons. Throughout human history, and even in some places today, like rural Afghanistan, there are places where child mortality, where half of all children never see the age of five. That's been true throughout human history and in some parts of the world today. But it wouldn't follow that toddlers are not people because they have a high mortality rate. So that's how I would respond to those two arguments. Feel free to make a reply to that. But that's how I would respond to them. And then I would like to ask one simple question of you. You said the fetus is not a person. Can you define what a person is?
I mean, I'm stuck with how we've historically defined people, which is that living, breathing people who are able to survive outside the womb is how that has historically and traditionally been defined.
So you're saying a person is any human being who can live outside of the womb?
Right.
So you're saying a fetus is not a person because persons are not fetuses.
No, I'm not trying to use circular logic.
Then to show it's not circular, Craig, why do you have to be able to live outside of a uterus to be a person?
That's a good point. I guess I'm not really opposed to even some sort of abortion limits. But I think the idea of trying to bring it all the way back to conception is a really broad concept.
What limits would you lean towards as being reasonable?
I think that what kicked around with like between 20 and 30 weeks or so, it seems, I think honestly closer to 30 weeks where it actually could be a viable thing, you know, with like, you know, it could survive when, given some attention and care as opposed to, where it just does not have the organs that are fully, you know, functioning well enough to survive outside the womb or to develop fully.
Yeah. Here's the problem I see with that, Craig. To me, that just seems like a really unfair standard. It's like, you know, we're saying to this human fetus, this very small human being, you're not a person because you can't survive in a place where you're, you know, there are places where you can't survive. You can't survive where we live. Therefore, you're not a person. But the unborn is surviving exactly where they should be surviving, in the womb. And if we put them in a place where they can't survive, we kill them. I guess my feeling is this. With human beings, you shouldn't put human beings in places where they can't survive. Like you and I, ironically enough, if you and I were shrunk down to miniature form and placed in the uterus, we would drown because it's an aqueous environment. So it's ironic. Like, we can't survive where the unborn child lives, yet we're still persons. The unborn child can't survive where we live. Somehow that means they're not a person. It just doesn't make sense to me. It seems like we just take for granted that standard will never be applied to us.
Sure. As far as addressing, I mean, the goal then for the pro-life movement has stated to be to prohibit abortions more or less. And that's certainly what they've attempted, what the movement has attempted to do and make them harder to obtain. But it seems not to address the real harm and impact that causes, which is that people do still pursue having them and have them in unsafe conditions. And that there's real harm that is done to mothers or would-be mothers in those circumstances.
Oh, are you saying what are pro-lifers doing so that there are less abortions?
I mean, that would be an interesting thing to work on.
Well, it is an interesting question. I'm not opposed to reducing abortions while we try to make them illegal. In fact, I think it'll be easier to make abortion illegal when there are less of them. And, you know, pro-lifers have different pragmatic, you know, we have differences of opinion about how to accomplish that. Some people think, well, you know, just spend on poverty programs and things like this. I'm not entirely sure that that would work, because as I wrote in a blog post a month ago, a group called the Brookings Institute showed that women who make four times above the poverty level income-wise are actually four times more likely to have an abortion. So the rate of abortions, if you make more of an income, you may actually be more likely to choose abortion. To me, what I think the pro-life movement should focus on is instilling moral education that the unborn are human beings, and reducing access to abortion. When you look around in the country, places where there are few abortion facilities, regardless of population levels, there are much fewer abortions. If it's not available, people don't choose it. So I would recommend, if you go to Catholic.com, you can see my recent article on that, as well as a few other articles on the pro-life position, or my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, should be helpful on that. But thanks for calling.
Thank you very much, Craig, for that call. You can hear the music. It means we got to go to a break. If you are a pro-choice person, if you believe that abortion should be legal, whether you're like Craig and you believe it should be legal all the way from the beginning of pregnancy, or maybe even just the last or just the first few weeks, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live. EWTN is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If your cable or satellite provider doesn't carry EWTN's full programming lineup, give them a call and let them know you would like to receive EWTN 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
For more information, go to EWTN.com and click on television.
Can you trust the basis of the Christian faith? The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if your faith is based on a myth? The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, often attacking the reliability of the New Testament and the Gospels. And the sad news is that most people don't know how to answer these charges. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of them. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, The Dawn of Christian History. With his characteristic wit and passion as a master storyteller, Jimmy takes you through an exciting detective story that reveals how history supports the Christian faith. Order your copy of The Dawn of Christian History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our on-fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn is our guest. Trent is the author of Persuasive Pro-Life. And he's got a brand new book coming out that you can find at shop.catholic.com, or just go to catholic.com. It's right there next to the banner. I saw it today, the cover of it. That's called What the Saints Never Said. I'm getting the title right now, right?
Yes, What the Saints Never Said, Pious Misquotes and the Subtle Heresies They Teach. Though I had more than a few people online think that it said Pious Mosquitoes.
Oh, nice.
And that is how these misquotes happen.
Which is an awesome name for a book, though. If you can maybe come up with something to go with that title, Pious
Mosquitoes. Or maybe some kind of Catholic alternative rock group. We're the Pious Mosquitoes. We're going to be playing down at the Shack on Friday night at 8 p.m. There's
not
cover
the
charge,
shack,
but it's going to be worth it.
It's going to be totally worth it, man.
Also, please share it on your Twitter and Facebook and go to our MySpace page.
We're trying to create a buzz.
Pious Mosquitoes buzz on MySpace.
I said,
Tom likes us.
Tom likes us.
Tom is our friend.
888-318-7884, and sometimes Rhodey. 888-318-7884, the number, if you'd like to talk with Trent about why you are pro-choice. And when we say pro-choice, we're just looking for folks who believe in any degree or manner that abortion should remain legal, that there is a good moral or reasonable argument to be made that abortion should remain legal, whether you believe that throughout the entirety of the development of the child in the womb, or maybe you're one who says, well, maybe after 20 weeks of it, whatever. If you're pro-choice in any way, we'd love to talk with you. And pro-choice means that you are in favor of legalized abortion or keeping abortion legal. 888-318-7884 is the number. I say that so specifically because lots of pro-life people call on these days, and we really do restrict it to folks who believe in abortion, or maybe don't believe in abortion but believe in the legality of abortion or support the legality. Again, the number 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. We go now to Matt in New Orleans, Louisiana, listening on 690 AM. Matt, why are you pro-choice?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was really, I think my views might be, I don't know if you would say they're evolving, but I do have concerns about removing the legality of abortion. I know a lot of people that have struggled and made this decision, and they were very, you know, conscious examiners of their life and their circumstances. And I wanted to see if y'all could comment on, I believe, sorry, I'm a little nervous, but for one, I believe, well, I guess the economic justice argument, I think Thurgood Marshall used that argument rather than like this bodily autonomy argument in the Supreme Court decision. And I wanted to tie in the fact that a lot of, I believe, Central American countries, and I'm forgetting them off the top of my head, but I think like El Salvador have very strict limits on abortion, but also have high poverty rates and high, very high abortion rates as well. And I wanted to see like what, I guess I'm kind of calling a little, just from a concern that we don't have the, or we're not allocating the resources as a society to actually like nurture families. And that a resort, because, you know, that sometimes women resort to abortion because of the circumstances. And I did hear his statistic about the upper-income women basically maybe more likely, but I am confused because I know statistics in South America and Central America suggest that there is a lot of abortion, high abortion rates in high-poverty countries.
Right. Let me address it. There's a lot here to chew on, Matt, and I'm excited to talk to you about it. We must be careful when we're looking at statistics not to confuse correlation with causation. Just because we see two things are related, it doesn't follow that there's a causal indicator between them. For example, there's a common this has been well documented that countries that invest more in education have higher suicide rates, but that doesn't mean it's wrong to invest in education or that education directly causes suicide. Or I'll give you another example. It's pretty common that cities that have large numbers of churches also have high crime rates, but that doesn't mean that it's the churches causing the crime rates. There's a third variable. They have large places that have lots of churches have high populations. High population centers are more likely to have higher crime rates. So when we look around the country, you're correct. There are some countries with high poverty rates and high where abortion is illegal and there are high poverty rates. But there's also countries where abortion is legal and there are high poverty rates, such as in Eastern European countries, in the former Soviet Union, some other Asian countries come to my mind where especially where the communist government once mandated abortion and paid for it, there are still high poverty rates, regardless of there being high abortion rates or high access to abortion. And then there are places like Poland and Ireland where you have very low abortion rates, where abortion is restricted, and the poverty rates are fairly low. Maternal mortality, as in the health of pregnant women, is actually better than in the United States. In fact, the United States is one of only a handful of countries in the world that allows abortion up till the moment before birth. I think the only other countries are like China and North Korea. But like in Western Europe, for example, abortions are usually illegal after 12 weeks. So that's one thing to think about there. But the economic justice argument you mentioned, I'm not sure exactly what that is. I've heard it put this way, that abortion is necessary so that poor people are not disenfranchised because the wealthy will always be able to get abortions if the poor are not. So we need to make it legal to help them. But that's like saying, you know, we should make it legal for the poor to rob banks. That way they can be on par with the rich. But that doesn't work at all. We shouldn't make it legal for one person to hurt another person, either financially or physically. So for me, it goes back to that main question, which is what are the unborn? If the unborn are human beings, we should protect them, and that it is better to tolerate poverty than it is to use murder as a tool to try to reduce poverty. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. I think I do, and I follow the train of thought you're going at, and I think that's very powerful. I guess like a tie into that, which really kind of makes me hesitant, like on a very practical level, is that when we talk about like anti-abortion policies, they're never really tied in with like a robust kind of social program that might be family pro-family, like in Ireland, where mothers and families get financial support from the government to raise their children. And I know you're saying about the correlation and not causation, but I do feel like even still, we don't. I guess I'm hesitant to drop people out of or to leave people with no support whatsoever.
I hear this a lot. It's like, well, if we get rid of abortion, shouldn't pro-lifers take the responsibility upon themselves to provide for all of these children who would have been aborted? And it's interesting that at first sometimes people think, well, yeah, they should do that because they're the reason these kids exist. But there's something actually kind of perverse about that argument. I'm not saying you're perverse. I'm saying when we think about it closer, it's like, wait, what are we saying here? Because I look at it. The reason these children exist is not because pro-lifers pass laws saying you can't abort them. The reason unborn children exist in 99% of cases is because a man and woman engage in an act that they know will bring about a child, will cause a child to come into existence. That child now has now has needs, and this mom and dad have a duty towards this child. The pro-life movement is only responsible for passing a law that says you can't kill this child. So the responsibility for caring for these children falls on the parents who have brought them into existence, not pro-lifers. Now, pro-lifers are certainly willing to help, and pro-lifers, I would say, do far more than pro-choice advocates when it comes to helping unborn children or children whose mothers don't choose abortion. Pro-lifers are the ones who are running pregnancy resource centers. They're running maternity homes for homeless pregnant women to live in as they prepare to give birth to their children and find them housing and jobs afterwards. But that argument that pro-lifers should provide for these children and their families because they want to pass these laws, that's like saying abolitionists in the 19th century, they should take in slaves, and those abolitionists should make sure former slaves have jobs, and those abolitionists solve economic problems that result from freeing slaves. And that's just crazy. You'd say, no, abolitionists don't have this sole responsibility. What they're doing is good. They should free the slaves. And it's up to the rest of us, to everyone, to make sure that former slaves are cared for and treated with dignity. Much the same with abortion, that it's good to make abortion illegal and the children to come into existence. We should have a discussion about how to help these children and provide for their families. And guess what? There can be, I just got to say this. For people who go to pro-lifers and say, you only care about life after birth, a lot of times when I hear that, that's when people just say, well, you're pro-life, you only care about life before birth because you won't support my government entitlement program. Look, there can be reasonable disagreement about how to help the poor, whether it's through government entitlement programs or through other policies. We can have reasonable disagreement about how to treat, how to reduce poverty, how to tackle poverty. We can't have reasonable disagreement about whether it's okay to dismember a child in the womb. We can't. That just is wrong, and it should be illegal. Everything else we would do, there can be reasonable disagreement. But we need to focus on the main thing, which is that the unborn should be protected under law, and we should fight to restore the legal protection they once had. So Just a few thoughts there, but thanks so much for calling in.
Matt, I have to say thank you to, as well for that call, because we have to take a quick break. It is the question of the hour, the question of the day for Trent Horn is, why are you pro-choice? If you favor abortion, or even if you don't favor abortion, but think that it should be remain legal in some form, we welcome your call. We'd love to have a discussion with you. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH, if you prefer the spelling version. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Trent Horn on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Why are you pro-choice? Call now. Trent is waiting to talk to you.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. I'm sure you have heard that it's still okay these days to hold to the quaint superstitions of Catholicism as long as you leave them in church. Because when it comes to reality, religion is just foolishness that withers in the fierce light of science. Problem is, this narrative is false. It is in the Christian West that scientific discovery has most flourished. Still, too many of us find ourselves flat-footed when confronted with bugbears like Adam and Eve versus evolution, creation versus Big Bang, and Galileo versus the Inquisition. What can you do? Come to Catholic Answers' 5th National Conference, Faith and Science. Guest speakers Father Terry Ehrman and Dr. Stacy Trasankos will join the whole Catholic Answers team to explain how faith and science are actually in harmony. September 27 to 30, right here in San Diego. And we are thrilled to announce a special keynote address by Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke, honoring the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. For all the details, visit CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right. Subscriptions to Catholic Answers magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on one-year subscriptions and $20 less on two-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order. Order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn, our guest this hour. Our topic, why are you pro-choice? If you favor abortion, we would love to hear from you. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. If you don't favor abortion, but you do think that it should remain legal, give us a call. 888-318-7884. Whatever your view is on maintaining at least any part of the current status quo of abortion in our country and in our world, give us a call. 888-318-7884. We'd like to have a reasoned discussion with you about it. That's very, very important to us. Again, I'll give out that number. Oh, well, I don't know why I'm giving it out. Every single line's full at the moment. Hey, you'll get in there, though. 888-318-7884. Let's go to Johnny in West Covina, watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching on YouTube, Johnny. We appreciate it. Why are you pro-choice?
Hello. No, I'm not pro-choice. I'm pro-life. Right now I'm calling. I'm in West Covina on Sunset and Merced. I'm part of the 40 Days of Life movement.
Oh, good.
Yes, and right now we're praying for the babies, and we're in front of the clinic right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I encourage more men to come out here and pray with us, because you these are seniors over here helping us, and we get a lot of people passing by, flipping us off, and you know, and a lot of things. I could go on forever.
Sure.
My question is to you. The other day, a nice gentleman, he wrote down really polite. He rolled down his window. He goes, "I'm with you on the abortion." He goes, "Hey, awesome, I'm with you." I go, "Cool." He goes, "But I just have a problem. I can't tell nobody to choose if they want to keep their baby or if they want to get rid of their baby. I cannot choose that. That's up to them. I go, good answer. So that's my question to you. Sure. How would I respond to something like that?
Sure. And Johnny, I think you should say, you're right that we can't tell people what they can choose to do when the choice is a good thing. You know, like whether someone chooses to get married and have a family, for example, that's their choice because, you know, getting married or not getting married, they're both good things. But if someone chooses to do evil or hurt other people, can't we tell someone you can't choose to hurt another person? Like with that example, the baby, he said, you know, get rid of the baby. Could we say, you know, ask the guy, you know, are you saying you don't have the right to tell somebody that they can't choose to get rid of their born baby by throwing them in a dumpster or, you know, leaving them like on the side of the road somewhere? And to say, look, you would agree, we have the right to tell people they can't choose to just get rid of their born babies. So if the baby is still a baby before it's born, then the same reasoning would apply. So just to say, look, choices are fine when you're choosing good things, but nobody can choose to do something evil or choose to hurt another person, and to make those comparisons there. And if he says, well, look, I can even tell people not to choose to hurt their born babies, but they're still going to do it, I'd say, yeah, you're right, but guess what? We hold people responsible, legally responsible, if they hurt their born babies. Why isn't anyone being held responsible if they hurt unborn babies? Then that would be the point to bring out. But keep up the good work, my friend. Your prayers of 40 Days for Life. We'll ask our listeners to pray for you all at West Covina, praying in front of an abortion facility there. And normally, we only allow pro-choice people to call in, but I made an exception here because it really is a brave witness for someone like Johnny and others who go in front of abortion facilities, peacefully pray. They get hostility. You know, they get attacked verbally, sometimes physically. But to have that presence, to let people know that we're not going to stand idly by while this happens, it's a beautiful witness. And if you want to learn more, listeners, definitely check out 40 Days for Life, their website. That's 40 Days for Life. You can join a vigil praying in your own city or start one in your city if it doesn't have one. So do check that out. And Johnny, thank you so much for calling in.
888-318-7884, the number. Let's go to Bob in Springfield, Massachusetts, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Bob, why are you pro-choice?
Yes, a blessed, you know, I'm not Catholic, but a blessed Lent for you.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice of
you guys there.
Thank you.
But I follow the Catholic faith a little bit. I always want to talk about the Blessed Mother, but her, you know, but I'm going to talk about this because at one time I was pro-abortion, and then I learned a lesson from one of my nieces who was Catholic and who carried the baby, and I thought she should have had it aborted, okay, because she had a relationship with somebody and at 18 and her whole life, but then she ended up having the baby, and I learned from that, and I said, wow, this is amazing, you know, this little baby that I wanted, that if I would have spoken words, I would have said, you should have killed it, you know? But now, so I flipped again, so then I was for pro-life.
Yeah.
But now with America, the way it's evolving or devolving, you know,
sure.
And I see in the news that they allow rapists. So I guess my statement is, I think I have much empathy for the girl that's been raped, mm-hmm. if it was my granddaughter or mm-hmm. my daughter or anybody. And now in America, they allow that rapist to serve their time and then come out of prison, not necessarily born again and Holy Spirit filled or, you know, even a good person. They're still evil for a person. And they have rights, and the courts in America are deciding that person has a right to that child, custody rights. And because of that, I'm going back to say, you know, to that little girl or that young woman or older woman or whatever that's been raped, you know, abort the baby because America is so polluted and poisoned and toxic that they're defending the evil people, and the evil people, even sometimes out of spite, want to just continue.
Yeah. Well, Bob, let me jump in here because I sympathize where you're coming from. The idea of a rapist, someone who's committed a horrendous act of violence against a woman, somehow now getting custody of a child in spite of this terrible crime that they've committed. It certainly does boggle my mind. Absolutely. I'm with you on that 100%. But we have to ask ourselves, look, here's the problem. How do we solve the problem? There's different ways to go about it. Like, could we go with legal ways to say if someone commits the act of rape, you know, maybe they permanently lose their parental rights. Maybe there's a rigorous series of conditions that have to be met to have limited parental rights restored. I don't know. I'm not an expert on legal aspects of parental rights. But what I do think I'm an expert on is the wrongness of killing human beings. So I would say let's take the example of a born child. You know, let's say we had a born child who, you know, might end up in her father's custody, and the father's abusive and he's bad. Now, what would we do in that situation? We'd do everything we could to get that born girl out of that abusive situation, but we wouldn't kill her so that her father won't abuse her. I mean, like, it'd be weird to think like, oh, this father might abuse this girl and he might kill her. So to make sure that doesn't happen, we're going to kill her ourselves. It just doesn't make any sense. It's the same with an unborn child. And even there, no one is saying that the rapist is going to get immediate custody or anything like this. What we should always do when it comes to evil, it is better to suffer and endure evil than to inflict it on other people. It is always better to endure evil than to inflict it unjustly on other people, and especially to inflict it on someone as innocent as an unborn child. So just keep that in mind and just remember that we should always tackle these problems, but do so in a just and loving way that doesn't hurt innocent people. So keep that in mind. And thanks for calling in, Bob.
Thank you very much, Bob. Let's try to get one more call in before we have to go to the top of the hour. And when we do, Ken's going to be with us second hour. We're going to continue this discussion on why are you pro-choice. So if you're on the line, stay on the line. And if you haven't gotten on the line yet, 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. We go now to Jake in Topeka, Kansas. Jake, you are on with Trent Horn. Why are you pro-choice?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm pro-choice because I believe that it's a woman's right to choose what she wants to do about it.
Okay, so Jake, you think that a woman has the right to do whatever she wants with her body, including doing whatever she wants to the unborn child in her body, in her womb?
Well, I'm more receptive to the idea that, especially late in the third trimester, that at least in my own personal experience, if I were, you know, presented with that choice, obviously I would follow through on it. But in terms of, late trimester or late third trimester abortions, I think the majority of women who opt for procedures that late typically have experienced problems in their pregnancy, in which their life might very well be at stake. So I'm actually curious what your opinion is on that.
Sure.
What would you...
And Jake, here's what I would say on that point, that in a late term, you know, let's say a third trimester pregnancy, if someone is experiencing a medical problem, at that point, the child is viable. It takes longer and is more dangerous to try to abort the child at that stage than to simply either give birth or perform an emergency cesarean section or emergency C-section. I would say that if there is a health problem after, you know, in the third trimester of pregnancy, it makes no sense just deliver the child. Maybe they have, you know, there's a risk of something happening to the child, but it's better to deliver the child and give them a chance to live. In fact, a pretty strong one if it's in the third trimester and there's medical equipment to aid the delivery, than to give the child no chance and dismember them. Or even at that stage, at the third trimester, you don't really even dismember the child. Doctors usually just inject poison directly into the child's heart, and the child dies, has a heart attack, and the child is stillborn, essentially. So the child has to be delivered one way or another at that point in pregnancy. And it just makes sense to me, deliver them alive, don't kill them. So I'd say, though, if you believe that a woman has a right to do anything she wants with her body, then you can't be against late-term abortion, because you say, well, she can do what she wants with her body. But if you are against late-term abortion, then that shows a woman does not have a universal, unlimited right to do whatever she wants with her body. Deep down, we know we can use our bodies, however we want, except to hurt other people. So something to keep in mind. And thanks for calling in. I hope our other callers will stay on the line. We'll be at you right after here in the next hour.
Jake, thank you for the call. Thanks for every pro-choice person who has called today. As Trent said, if you have called but we haven't gotten to you, just hang on. We're going to come right back after this and do more Why Are You Pro-Choice with Trent Horn right here on Catholic Answers Live. That number, if you haven't called, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.